I am Digital Dave again.
And I'm still Fast Eddie.
That's good.
And with us today, we have Ken Wadelski from the aviation...
From the most popular department.
Oh, boy, they were getting field. They were getting cussed at yesterday.
Yeah, your ears burning?
The Aviation Weather Center. Good morning, or is it a good morning?
Good morning, good afternoon, it's all the above.
All of the above.
And goodbye, I'm out of here.
Okay, and the foremost question on everyone's mind is, what happened last night?
You're going to put me on the spot with this one, aren't you?
Yes.
You betcha.
We're going to make you earn your money.
People want to know who screwed up.
Everybody. Well, here's the thing with weather. It is an inexact science. What we look at are parameters, right? We had heat. We had instability. Right, we had humidity, we had wind shear in effect, right? All these things were there. All the parameters we look at for severe weather was there. We had a cold front coming in. We knew thunderstorms were going to develop, but we were outlining the possibility that tornadoes could happen, right? Because the ingredients were there. We knew it wasn't going to be a widespread event, but the threat was there. So we were alerting people to the possibility that if thunderstorms do develop in the late afternoon and evening, that they would be severe based on what was going on in the atmosphere. But we were highlighting it wasn't going to be widespread. It was going to be more scattered, but to be on the lookout if something does happen. The tornado watch comes out from the Storm Prediction Center. That's a national center. They will alert the public that, you know, the potential exists for these conditions through like 11 p.m. And so, yes, we were forecasting thunderstorms in the area. They ended up being further to the north and west, and we got away here without anything.
That's good. Well, we're happy about that.
Very happy about that.
So have you scheduled any more thunderstorms for this week?
I'm going to turn that off based on yesterday's forecast.
Yeah. Click. Weather is good now.
You know, no matter how you predict the weather, there's always somebody that's going to complain about it.
That's right.
And if you botch it, you're going to catch hell, period.
Now, yes. Do you use all these weather models they talk about, the NAS model, this model, that model?
There's too many models out there.
Right. Nobody's got it right yet.
There's as many models as coffee shops out there, and not everyone's good.
Well, which ones do you guys use? The weather Ouija board or the dart board?
No, the weather rock.
I'm one of the old school guys, believe it or not. I've been in the agency over 25 years. When I was taught weather, we were taught patterns. You know, you could look at the patterns in the United States and the climatology of what that is. And you could pretty much know by experience that the West gets monsoon, the East Coast gets thunderstorms almost every afternoon and evening, mm-hmm. and then the Northern Plains you have a jet stream, and then you have the tropical weather. We are trained to look at patterns. Unfortunately, some of the newer technologies today are just plug in the models and go, but the models might not initialize properly. You have to understand that if they're plugging in models to forecast, that doesn't necessarily make that forecast correct. It's more understanding the pattern and just look up at the sky and how things are evolving so you can gather information before you even look at the models.
Okay, so you're telling me that if the model were to say snow, I would go, no, that's probably not right.
Yeah, wildfire, right?
Yeah. Well, wildfire,
that's a lot.
Do you predict that as a weather event or are you...
We don't predict that the actual fire is going to happen. We will say the weather elements that drive wildfire behavior or explosive fire growth can happen. So that would be very low humidity, dry soil conditions, and strong winds. If you have those, then if a wildfire were to be ignited by anything, it could be somebody drops a lit cigarette, a chain scraping on the ground, whatever that might be. Then if a fire breaks out, there's all these conditions in effect weather-wise that would cause that fire to explosively grow versus a slower growth.
Now that drives the question right away. How much does a wildfire change the local weather?
It can change the local weather, but it's more of a local scale event. It's okay. Not a massive scale. It's more of a local scale, strong winds, you know, visibility, smoke, all that stuff can drive things.
Okay. Now, you're in aviation weather specifically, so are you serving commercial airlines, general aviation, anybody who calls on the phone?
I work at the FAA Air Traffic Control Center in Warrenton, Virginia. So we're in a national center. I'm employed by NOAA, by the National Weather Service. So we're a team of six meteorologists. They handle all of the ground delay, ground stop, holding pattern, all the national traffic management initiatives come out of this FAA command center. They're not the only entity. They're there as like a national shield that keeps situational awareness to traffic volume, how to manage that, how to reroute flights, you know, to various parts of the United States. A very busy, high, you know, driven job. Whereas we have centers like the CWSUs and the regional FAA centers. They handle certain regions, certain parts of the airframe, whereas we handle the national picture.
Okay.
I was going to say, with the weather that we've had lately, especially with the smoke from the wildfires, this can affect international operations as well, can't it?
Oh, yes. You know, I don't think anybody realizes at any given time how many flights are up in the sky. On a busy day, you can have 50,000 airplanes going across the sky. It's got its own city up in the sky.
Yeah.
And so when you're talking about things like wildfire smoke or volcanic ash, if you have a volcano,
yeah, that's a big one.
That can cause thousands of airplanes to have to be rerouted around that due to visibility and particulate matter that can get into some of the systems. So when you have fires burning across Canada, that too impacts flights in the U.S. because you have transcontinental flights coming in from other countries. Mm-hmm. Or you get the smoke that comes down and it drops the visibility. If it gets into New York City or D.C. or Philadelphia, the major East Coast terminals, that can cause cancellations and delays.
Yeah, we've seen it in Philly to the point where the sky was orange.
Yes.
That is a frightening thing to see.
Yeah.
It is, for
and
sure.
To fly through.
Yeah. Now, the one thing that I've noticed is that the weather can be rather capricious at times. I was at a show down in Wilmington.
That's another switch that they can turn on.
Capricious?
Yeah, capricious.
Capricious. Sounds like a car.
Yeah, it's a four-door sedan.
It comes in a station wagon, too.
Yeah.
I remember looking at weather radar. Now, I know there's time lag on this, but I was looking at the radar, and I'm saying, yeah, guys, we're okay, let's go. And 15 minutes later, one of these little pop storms was raining bullfrogs on us. And I have yet to live it down. I still hear about that. Because I'm saying, yeah, guys, we're okay. And then the bottom drops out.
And then yeah. That's weather.
Yeah,
that's
it.
That's what it does.
It really is a crapshoot sometimes.
Right. If you like to be humbled, being a meteorologist is the best field for that.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you keep a tab of how many times you're right versus wrong, you know, throughout the year? A little marking on the calendar. Hey, I got that one right.
You know, I used to beat myself up all the time. I've been in the Weather Service 26 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a winter storm when I was living in Lubbock, Texas. And it was one of these cases where it looked like it was going to be big, but it ended up being too warm. We forecasted all this snow. It turned out to be sleet, ice, then snow. And I worked 7 midnight shifts in a row.
Ooh,
wow.
Just for this storm. And I got off the last midnight shift and, wake up from your slumber and it's like ice and sleet. You're going, oh, no, this is going to be a media nightmare, right? Get up, go to the gym, wake up. I was in the sauna. I remember a guy, I had no idea who he was, didn't know me. He goes, man, these dang weathermen around here, they're horrible. I just canceled my whole trip and they canceled this big meeting downtown. And all. And I said, you know, I'm like, yeah, I work at Dairy Barn, leave me alone.
That's funny.
One of the most infamous ones we had in Philadelphia was for 10 days they were forecasting this huge snowstorm, about a foot of snow, all the miserable weather you could ask for. And when it was supposed to arrive, it was sunny skies. We got nothing.
I remember that storm. I was working in the D.C. office.
He's the one.
It wasn't me, though. We were watching them, you know, getting pummeled on Facebook. You know, I sold my house to buy shovels and everything that happened.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Have you ever noticed that snow shovels apparently only last 1 year? It's like everybody has to go out and buy new ones every year.
Well, people think it's that we somehow control, you know, it's a conspiracy. We're going to forecast, you know, snow three times the amount the models say, only to get sales out of Home Depot.
That's right. You own stock.
Well, if we were that smart, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing.
Yeah, you'd be selling snow shovels.
I was going to say, between snow shovels and salt, you'd be a rich man.
Go. Oh, that's right.
Well, we do thank you for doing what you do.
Oh, thank
you. Keeps us safe. Sort of.
Well, it gives us an idea of what not to do, maybe.
To go outside. Yeah.
You know, it's all about making decisions in life, right? Everything is a risk that we take, and it's good that, you know, we're out for public safety. We're not making money off stocks and stakeholders like television. We're out to protect life and property, and we put the information out, and it's up to the person to decide what they do.
I wonder if we can go to FanDuel and bet on the weather.
In Vegas, you can bet on anything.
Yeah. What are the odds we're going to get a thunderstorm today?
Well, I hope we don't get a thunderstorm today. Hey, speaking of that, are we going to have good weather for the next couple days?
Yeah.
It looks better. The winds are shifting around to the northwest now, so, you know, not as much precipitation, but we still have to watch the fires. There could be more smoke coming back in.
Oh, boy.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us. And guys, use that aviation weather every chance you get.
Yep, you've been listening to Ken Wedelsky from the Aviation Weather Center. This is Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.